of people reporting about what's going on in this building.
Did Scoops have that?
And having no freaking clue whatsoever. And they get support for it left and right.
Fake news left and right.
And they're inaccurate most of the damn time.
Dale Arnold.
Here's the definition of gossip. Casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true.
Oh, thanks, Dale.
Rich Keefe.
I looked Tom Brady in the eyes and I said, damn, you a pretty man.
Dale and Keefe.
Don't go out there and get ball-hugging drunk.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, tell the truth. And I know you usually do, but I feel compelled to tell you.
Please tell me the truth.
Tell me the truth.
Yes.
How many guys have said, damn, that's an attractive man?
A lot. To you. To me?
Oh, yeah, to you.
Well, in my younger days.
You.
In my younger days, I would say a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Not now. Then. I'm past my prime. But when I was in, like, eighth grade, when I kind of peaked.
That was when you hit the peak?
Yeah.
Eighth grade.
Socially,
so high school was not quite as much as.
Academically, everything. Eighth grade was my high watermark. But I'm okay with it because it was a very high place. It was a
very high
bar.
It
was really, really good. High school wasn't so bad. Then since then, it's been a bit downhill. But how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm all right today.
Anything going on around here today? Anything getting announced?
No, same old, it seems like. Congratulations, Dale.
Thank
You're
you.
Part of the broadcast team.
Yeah,
great to have
I
you.
I mean, if we talked about the quote-unquote all-star lineup,
I would think that
I
it
might
is.
Be at the bottom of the list of
You're
all-stars.
You're on the team,
I'm
Dale.
On the team.
You're on the team.
And,
it's a starting nine, really,
very
if you look at it.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of us. it's
here we go.
It's kind of a unique concept, and when Joe Zarbano first brought it up to me, I was thinking, man, this is going to be hard to put together. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts here.
I was going to say.
He's been working on this thing, obviously, for a long time. That's why the announcement didn't come out until today.
Right. Well, somebody had it the other day.
Well, had parts of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Had, you know, not everything, but had parts of it.
Yeah, good chunk.
You know, I was listening at 8:30 this morning when Mutt and Callahan, you know, made the whole announcement.
Yeah, smooth announcement.
Well, there was a bit of an issue about Mario Mpemba's name. But
Mario Mpemba.
See,
I don't think
you're one for one.
And listen, I screw up names all the time. I do it every day in trending. I do it. There's, you know, some of these hockey names are impossible. Mario Mpemba. But is that it? That's it.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many other ways you
could
dress it up.
I bet you do have a name, and I certainly have had them, where you just have a mental block.
Can't do it. Yeah.
And this seems to be Mutt's mental block was Mario Mpemba.
Yeah.
He did eventually.
Josh Lewin, who spent some time in the Mets broadcast. Mario Mpebra. Am I saying that right, Ken Laird? I hope I am. Formerly the Detroit Tigers.
He threw like an extra R in there. He threw like an R in the last name.
And he stuck an extra E in at other times. Mpemba. I mean,
it's really not that difficult of a name. But yeah, I think it's one of those mental block names. Nope, try again. It's all right.
Well, broadcast, Mario Mpebra.
Close enough.
Yikes.
So the whole concept here is obviously you've got Red Sox Hall of Fame broadcaster Joe Castiglione at the centerpiece. And congratulations to Joe. We learned that he also signed a contract extension.
Good stuff.
We'll continue on here. And then all the rest of us kind of work in and around, you know, with Joe Castiglione. I can tell you that Josh Lewin and Mario Mpemba will probably work the most number of games of that whole all-star crew that you read about.
Okay.
They're going to work about 50 games apiece.
Oh, wow. All right.
Sean McDonough, who I also heard this morning on with Mutt and Callahan.
I love Sean McDonough.
So do I.
Yeah.
He's going to work about 30 games.
Oh, nice.
And these numbers are, you know, in the ballpark.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he has that break, he was saying, in between the Masters and college football.
Right.
So he's got some time to do some games. So that's great.
Lou is going to work in the ballpark of around 30 games.
Are you sure? I've heard that there's prominent people who hate Lou Maloney.
I think that that he's fine in that regard.
All right, well, that
truthfully,
was a surprise.
Every name that you heard about earlier today had to have been approved by the Red Sox.
Oh.
That, by the way, is not an unusual thing. Okay. Every team has the right to approve the announcers for their broadcasts.
Yeah.
Every one of us had to be approved by the Red Sox for this to happen. And Lou's going to work a lot of third man in the booth things.
I think that's
I'll be working
some
with
of the
him
best
at times
yeah,
with
I
Joe.
Like that.
He'll be working with other guys at times, but, you know, a kind of a third man in the booth, which, by the way, he's great at.
I really like it. And it almost gives the game a little something extra. Like, even when they were doing it on TV, and it was Dave O'Brien with Eckersley and Remy, it gives it a little something extra. Doesn't it feel like the game's a little bit bigger when you have a third guy? So I like that, especially when you get, because he's the only former player on this whole list. You know, you have a lot of real professional broadcasters, but then you have Maloney in there that gives you that player's kind of feel to it.
And there's a difference, and I know this is going too deep into the weeds for many people.
Jump in there, Dale.
There's a difference between play-by-play announcers and analysts.
Yes.
I mean, Lou Maloney is a great analyst. Now, yeah. He's done play-by-play.
I was going to say, I'm sure if he's decided to he could do it.
You know, Joe Castiglione's a play-by-play guy.
Correct.
I'm a play-by-play guy. Sean McDonough, play-by-play.
Dave O'Brien.
And Dave O'Brien is going to work about 9 or 10 games. Now, what happens here is that when the Red Sox game is on national TV, Nesson loses the telecast,
right,
and Dave O'Brien becomes available. For instance, when the Red Sox play in London.
Oh, yeah, London game in June.
Those
right?
games will
games.
Be on Fox.
So
Nesson doesn't do the telecast, so Dave O'Brien's going to go to London and do the games
good.
On radio with Joe Castiglione. You know, if the Red Sox are on Sunday Night Baseball, that frees up Dave O'Brien to be able to do some games on radio. Now,
right. And they're probably going to do a ton of. They're going to get as many primetime national games as possible. They have the maximum. Yeah.
I believe they're on national TV 12 times this year.
Yeah.
Which
ridiculous.
Is the most any team can. They can only take that many away from you.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So that frees him up to do, you know, double-digit games on the radio. I mean, you're going to see him do all the TV games, clearly.
Yeah, but then see his, him do, his primary job is again. Obviously on Nesson, which yeah. is where he'll be with right. Eck and Remy and all those guys. Mm-hmm. But when the game is on national TV, he'll swing over to radio with Joe and somewhere in the vicinity of 9 to 10 games. Chris Berman.
Boomer.
Huge name on the list.
How about Boomer?
He's only going to be able to do about 5 games,
all right.
somewhere in the vicinity of 5.
I'm sure he'll make them
with
count.
His other commitments. Oh, he'll,
yeah,
it'll be
he'll
a blast. I don't know if I'm going to get to work with Chris or not. I don't know how the schedule works out.
Yeah.
But I would love to do that. He was on our show a couple of years ago.
Back.
He's gonna have, you know he's going to have that up his sleeve.
And is smoked.
He's going to have the backs going. You know he's going to have that going. Yeah, we had him on with Belichick a couple years ago.
When we were doing a Patriots Monday with Belichick, and Berman and Belichick have a great relationship. In fact, there was a shot during the build-up to the Super Bowl on Super Bowl Sunday where they showed Belichick down in the hallway talking to Berman.
Right.
And, you know, they've got that relationship for a long time. He's been on with us and Belichick in the past. Obviously known by, you know, sports
everybody.
Fans
oh, yeah,
far
yeah.
and wide.
Right.
It is a unique concept that Joe has come up with here. Oh, Tom Caron. I forgot to mention TC. He'll have an opportunity to work some games as well. And it's a unique idea. Joe's the centerpiece and should be. The rest of us will work in and around, you know, as the schedule. And we've all got our schedules at this point.
It makes sense. Rather than hiring one person that maybe you don't love, why don't you bring in 8 different guys and just have, you know, the best broadcast possible for what should be another really good team. You know, this isn't a team that's going to be playing meaningless games in August and September. You
know,
this
no, they're
the
going to be pretty good.
World Series champion, and it gives it sort of a big-time feel to it. Like, all of these guys have done a lot of different play-by-play, a lot of different broadcasts, some at the national level, a lot at the local level. So I'm excited. I think it's a good group.
It'll be fun. You know, we're all looking forward to the opportunity. As I said, we've all got our schedules at this point. Mine is a little up in the air just in terms of, you know, when are the Bruins done?
Yeah, right.
And that plays into it. I think right now I'm in the vicinity of 15 games. That may go up a little bit, but somewhere in that ballpark. And I look, if you're a play-by-play announcer, if you've ever been a play-by-play announcer.
And we all have.
And it is
Rossi,
what you always want to do.
Yeah.
And it gives me the opportunity to step back into a booth and do play-by-play again. I got to do some last summer. Had a blast doing it. And I can't tell you how much I look forward to the opportunity. I'm going to do more games this year than I did last year.
Good.
And I love it. I mean, it's just when you do that, and I can tell you that if you do play-by-play and you've done a number of sports, it almost doesn't even matter what sport. If you can do a football game, you have a blast doing a football game. If it's baseball, hockey, whatever. And I can't wait. It's going to be a fun time.
I heard McDonough talking this morning about it, too, about how, you know, play-by-play. And there's also a big difference between TV play-by-play and radio play-by-play. And
Sean was talking about that.
And
it's a huge difference.
It's a big difference. And he loves doing it. And he hasn't had as many opportunities. But he's great. He is. You know, we always complain about broadcasting crews. Like, that's one of the things. Like, this year's Monday Night Football team or most of the NFL teams outside of Nance and Romo. We always kind of complain about the Sean McDonough, Jay Billis, Bill Rafferty 3-man college basketball booth is my favorite of all time. If I could pick any sport, any broadcast crew, I think those three guys are the best at it. Because
although I thought O'Brien, Eck, and Remy was really
I like
good,
that
too.
One, I like that one, too. But the McDonough, those guys, because they were funny, but they also they broke down the game better than anybody. McDonough knows how to call big plays. Like, he kind of, not every single play is the biggest play ever, but when it is, he paints such a great picture for it. And then those guys clearly are all friends. And I think you can tell the difference when there's a broadcast team that they all get along or we just work together. Like Tessitore and Witten and Booger, they just work together. These other guys, you can tell there's a real relationship there.
And you kind of bring me naturally to what was talked about last fall upon the departure of Tim Neverett. And I think Chad Finn wrote about this, that there was the possibility of EEI was considering doing a talk show format as the play-by-play for the Red Sox. Now, I can tell you.
Yeah, that got like national news. Yeah, and it was rejected immediately.
And it was wrong.
Yeah, that's not what they're looking for.
Now, what they are looking for, because they've talked to me about it and talked to all these guys about it, they want it to be more conversational. As the game's going on, you have so many more opportunities than the other sports.
Oh, my God. When David Price is circling the mound for 30
yes.
seconds, you can go ahead and have a little anecdote.
You can
have a personality.
About stuff.
Yeah.
And by the way, Joe loves doing that stuff.
Right.
I'm not sure Tim was all that comfortable with it.
Didn't feel like it.
And I think that was what they felt was lacking, was more of a conversational tone. Talk back and forth. Obviously, describe the game. We're on radio. You don't have pictures
to look at. You got
to
know what's happening.
And Sean McDonough said that earlier today when he was on with the guys.
Yeah, I know there was a lot of conversation back in the fall, I guess it was. I think when Tim left and said that he didn't like the idea it was going to be a talk show. You know, that's one of the things I asked Joe Zarbano when he called me and asked me if I'd be interested in coming back and doing some games. You know, is what I read true? Is there going to be, you know, a talk show with the baseball game going on in the background? Because I don't have any interest in that. And he said, no, you know, it's going to be a traditional baseball broadcast, but...
We talked about that at the time when it came out. It was just so funny
It would drive Red Sox fans nuts.
But yeah, we're taking your calls right now. Kyrie, do you think he's going to stay or go? By the way, it's 3-2 Sox here in the seventh.
If you're a Red Sox fan, if you're listening to a game on the radio, you're doing it for one reason, okay?
Yeah.
You can't see it. Either you can't be there in person... Or you can't watch it on TV. You're listening because you want to know what's going on.
But think about how outrageous that is and that anybody would even believe that. So from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., we have local shows all the time. And we even have more than that. But I'm just saying every single day, you're getting 12 hours of sports talk or whatever kind of talk you want. But for 12 hours, that's what you get. And now it's like, you know what? When the baseball game's going on, we need three more during the game. We need three more of that. That could be a nice little background kind of sound, and we'll let them know what the score is and that kind of thing. But we don't need to know what every pitch is. It's like, no, yeah, you do. That's the whole point of radio play by play.
If you're a baseball fan, you've probably heard Mario Impemba's name in the past.
Oh, I certainly have.
Yeah,
we talked about him on the show.
Now, Mario Impemba in Detroit was the Don Orsillo, for lack of a better term, of Detroit. He had been doing Tigers games on TV in Detroit for 17 years. He was working with a guy named Rod Allen.
Yeah.
You probably won't believe this, but there are times when people who work together don't get along.
I don't believe that, Dale.
It doesn't happen with you and me, but it has happened in the past with other, and they didn't particularly get along.
No.
It ultimately culminated in an incident that became physical in September, and at the end of the game, they were basically recalled to Detroit, both guys, and both guys were told, you're done here. And Impemba has talked about it a little bit. If you go to WEEI.com, Alex Reamer's got a piece there in which Impemba says the last 5 months have been among the most difficult of his entire life, you know, wondering if his career has gone up in smoke here. And, it ended up being a physical altercation.
Yikes.
I don't want to make it sound like punches were thrown,
but there
was physical contact between he and Allen.
Now,
they were both let go from their duties and the Tigers baseball on TV, you know, went in a different direction.
So, honest question, do you think Joe Castiglione has hit the weight room since he heard the news about Impemba coming in?
I think he's fairly safe.
Just so he can handle himself a little bit. He might want to be able to handle himself.
I think he's going to be okay.
He might need to defend himself because you never know what's going to happen there. I like the intensity by Mario Impemba. The guy obviously has a lot of passion in the booth. I think that'll translate to some of the calls. He's willing to fight for what he believes in, literally. So I like that about him. I think it's a great hire. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. And I'm going to be very nice to him. Well, first of all, how big is he? Is he a big guy?
You know, I've never met him.
I'm a little intimidated.
I honestly don't know the answer to that.
What's the height and weight and reach for Mario Mpemba?
Reach looks pretty good.
Good reach?
He doesn't really look overly intimidating.
How old is he? Does he have old man strength? Does he have dad strength?
Old.
I'm going to go with yes on the dad strength.
Yes on both?
No, he's not middle aged.
How tall is he?
Let me get you a stat.
Yeah, do we need stats here for you?
He's 55 years old.
All right. Old man strength, check. So if we're over at Fenway, I'm going to be very nice to him because that's the last thing I need is to get rolling around in the press box with somebody, Dale. That's not what I'm looking to do. I'm not a lover, not a fighter.
If he's 5'7".
Especially on Valentine's Day?
If he's 5'8", like somebody you might work with every single day, you'll roll around in the press box with him.
Shove him in the locker and show him who's boss. Because that's what they say. When you get a new job, you got to kick someone's ass the first day. Otherwise, you get treated like a piece of trash.
Is that how it works?
That's what they say about a new job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kick someone's
ass. Whose ass did you kick the first day here?
Fourier's.
I found the biggest guy.
I kicked his ass. And then I got respect by all my coworkers.
You know, this isn't prison.
You know what? You might be right. Maybe it is.
I thought it was a new job. No.
You show up, you find the toughest guy, you punch him right in the mouth. Rusty, you did that, didn't you?
I sure did.
You fought Glenn.
Nope, Mutt.
Or you fought Mutt.
But right after Mutt.
He stepped over Mutt the first time and turned around and said, oh, hey. And then he fought him. So I'm looking forward to talking to some of these guys. Mario Mpemba, Josh Lewin. I'm not as familiar with Josh Lewin, but I know he's going to be doing a bunch of games.
Done Mets baseball.
Mets, okay.
For a long time.
Oh, so he's going to miss out on Tim Tebow.
Well, he's not there anymore.
I'm saying he's going to miss out because Tebow's probably going to be on the opening day roster.
Probably not going to miss out on Tim Tebow.
That's going to be a big to-do. Can I just say this about the, and then we can put it to rest, the Lou Maloney, Chad Finn kind of tweet beef or whatever was going on yesterday.
And then got to audio beef on the air yesterday.
So I'm very confused about the whole thing. On the one hand, very similar to Mario Mpemba. I love both of their passions. They're both very intense about it. This is my take on the whole thing. Chad Finn wrote an article the other day in the Globe saying that, hey, they're not replacing Tim Neverett with one person. They have a bunch of people, and here's who some of the people might be. Lou took to Twitter and said, why don't you talk to people who would know? Chad then responded, people with the Red Sox think you suck and you're a phony. And then Lou was like, you're horrible at your job. And then they just started going nuts at each other.
Jesus, I'm so tired of people reporting about what's going on in this building and having no freaking clue whatsoever.
Well, he's got
and they just spread crap over there, left and right, and they get support for it left and right, and they're inaccurate most of the damn time. And it's just fine. It's no big deal. We just brush it off. 18 tweets later, I like them in the booth. You know, prominent people isn't management, and it's not ownership. So who is it, Chad? I mean, you want to bomb me like that in a tweet? You tell me who it is. It's nobody. It's, who is it? Pete Abe?
Now, that's the place.
What's happening here?
The place where Chad Finn went off the rails.
When he called him a phony, he said prominent people.
Prominent people in the Red Sox don't want you doing the games. If you don't have the courage to stick a name to that, then I am willing. I at least have the ability to suggest that you've made that up.
Yeah, that's tough. Or, I mean, because Chad was also the one, didn't he have the story about that it was going to be a talk show? And I think that was where it kind of took off from there. But I just am surprised. Like, both guys went from 0 to 100 so fast.
DEFCON 1.
It was Anchorman style. This escalated quickly. Brick, you killed a guy with a trident. You might want to lay low for a while. That's immediately what happened. I was like, what is going on? Because first of all, I love Lou. But he's ripping Chad Finn. And I'm looking at Chad Finn's article. And I'm like, pretty accurate. Like, what was he so mad about? Like, I thought it was relatively accurate. And then Chad, he's as sensitive as Kyle Van Noy. He can't,
yes.
He's like, he goes right back at Lou. He's like, I'm not going to say that people think you suck, but I'm going to say that. I'm like, what is happening right now on Twitter? Well, I mean, that's the perfect place for it because that's a cesspool. But those guys are going back and forth. I'm like, who's wrong? And then they both think the other one sucks at their job. And I'm like, I can't make heads or tails of any of it.
I got a very interesting call about 20 seconds after you had freaking sent. Somebody called me and wasn't real happy about this and called BS on this. And they were kind of pissed off because they have no idea what you're talking about. As a matter of fact, like the four most prominent people in that organization, I mean the four most prominent people in that organization,
want me to quit this gig and do that every day.
And I don't want to.
You think Lou was talking about Christian Vasquez?
Probably. Yeah.
Who do you think he was talking about? Might have been Vasquez. Sandy Leone.
Wally.
Oh, Wally and the other one.
Tessie.
Thank you.
Doesn't say a lot, but they can write notes.
They tweet. They got the Twitter accounts. But I'm like, what is going on with this back and forth? I didn't really understand it. I was just trying to look at it from the outside. I saw the tweets. I was listening to Lou at 2 o'clock where he was losing his mind. Glenn was trying to jump in there every once in a while, police it. And then I like how Glenn...
Freaking clue whatsoever.
All right, calm down. So they did 20 minutes. They did 20 minutes on this little tweet beef. And then Glenn goes, Kyrie Irving. I go, what? I go, hold on. I go, first of all, you have a four-hour show. I know you guys aren't going to do 4 hours on this, and you should. There's not 4 hours there. But he's like, at the end, it was like unprompted. Nobody brought it up. I don't know if he saw it like on the text line or on the call screen. But Lou's like, they're playing the angry Lou music. He's all fired up. He's talking about how maybe John Henry called him, or maybe Sam Kennedy called him, or maybe whoever you want to fill in there. And then he's like, guys, Kyrie Irving, he's hurt.
Sounds like a couple guys you want to sit around and have a beer with, right?
Is he going to play in the All-Star game? 617-779-7937. I was like, what is going on? But I like the energy there from Lou and from Chad. That'd be a nice celebrity boxing match.
Well, they
or
both
something.
Ran hot. Quickly.
They did. Immediately. Like, there was no gradual. It was
build up.
You're a phony. I was like, what the hell? What book was that? Was that Catcher in the Rye? What's the book that the guy, right? Everybody's a phony in that book?
Holden Caulfield thinks everybody's a phony.
Yes, thank you, Lucy.
So thank God we have a college graduate in there.
Maybe Chad just reread Catcher in the Rye and was like, I feel like calling somebody a phony. Lou's a phony. I wonder who thinks Lou's a phony besides Chad. I don't think Lou's a phony. I've worked with Lou. I like Lou.
Now, here's what I think could be possible.
Yeah, let's hear it.
And this is a theory on my part.
It's a working theory.
Prominent people have not called me and told me this, okay?
Okay.
Here's what I think. When Lou's in the booth doing Red Sox baseball, he's really good at it.
Yes.
It may be at times
too
that
good.
People within the organization are uncomfortable with opinions that he might have between the hours of 2 and 6.
Could be. I mean, is it sort of like what
by the way, not to the point where they don't want him on the Red Sox games.
No, right. But what he's doing is he's looking at it critically, and there are times where you're not just going to prop up every single guy that's on the team. Even when they're winning, you're going to look for little things and, you know, do your job that way. Similar, like, we've heard some things with Dennis Eckersley, right, who is the best. I think Eckersley is the best. He, like, there's nobody better at what he does
you
than
know
Eck.
What? You've hit it.
He's Eck?
No, David Price called
doesn't
Chad
like
Finn.
He's prominent. He's a prominent
that would be
piece,
a guy.
Right? Yeah, he's like, I don't want him on there. He's like, sorry, David, we're not going to ask you who's going to broadcast the games. But it could be something similar to that, you know, because players maybe hear Merlone criticizing them, just like they would hear Eck criticizing them, and they say, you know what, like, what do I want this guy doing our games for? Maybe they're a little annoyed by it, but I think more fans kind of appreciate that than not. Not that you're just ripping the guys for no reason. But if somebody is 0 for 15 and you want to talk about it, or some guy gets shelled and whatever, like, yeah, you should be critical. It makes it much more entertaining, I think.
Let's do it. Hey, by the way, you want some good news?
What?
Al Horford was awesome. Last
like, hold on. Lay low. Lay low, Glenn.
Do less.
We're working on something. Lou's all, he's worked up into a lather. And he's like, hey, by the way, Al Horford, 23 points. Doing.
Hey, by the way, some good news?
Yeah, sure.
Al Horford was awesome last night.
Jesus.
Leave it alone. Leave it alone. We're talking.
Did you hear Lou? Lou, huh?
Yeah. Jesus. He goes, Jesus.
Oh, come on.
He's like, yeah, cue the music.
Lou was in mid-rant at
he was
that
having
point.
A great time. He was all
hey, by the way.
Up. Yeah. What do you got?
You want
what?
Some good news?
Sure.
What?
Al Horford was awesome last night.
Jesus.
He goes, what? He thought he was going to add like another layer to the baseball news, but they didn't have it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We will work some football talk into the program today. Peter King's going to join us around 11:45, somewhere 11:45, 11:50, somewhere in that ballpark. We are hopeful that one of the names that you heard announced today, not mine because I'm talking all the time.
Dale, we're going to hear from you.
Yeah, we're going to hear from
now
me.
And too.
We're going to hopefully talk with one of those names that you saw released today.
Good.
Sean McDonough was on this morning with Mutt and Callahan. It was great to hear from him. It would be a different name than Sean McDonough.
Got it. So let's
narrow it down.
Okay. Is it Merlone?
Yes, we're going to have Lou Merlone on.
Good.
We're going to let him crank back up
again.
Oh, I
like that, yeah.
I like him in the booth.
617.
I do, I like him in the booth.
I know. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Entercom, the unrivaled leader in sports radio and one of the two largest radio broadcasters in the U.S., today announced the new all-star team of play-by-play sportscasters for the 2019 Red Sox season. Broadcaster participating this season will include, familiar name here, Sean McDonough is
excellent.
Part of the broadcast
there was
team
my
this
wow.
year. That was the wow we got off the air from John Tomasi. Josh Lewin, who spent some time on the Mets broadcast. Mario Empebra, am I saying that right, Ken Laird? I hope I am. Formerly the Detroit Tigers. Chris Curtis shaking his head. Broadcaster participating this season will rotate with Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione, who has signed a multi-year extension with the WEEI Red Sox Radio Network for his 37th season calling Red Sox
Fresh
baseball.
Is getting to him.
In addition to McDonough, Lewin, and Empebra, Chris Berman, ESPN's Chris Berman.
Back.
That Chris Berman will be doing some games this year on Red Sox Radio. Lou Merlone, you ever heard of him?
Oh, Jesus.
On-air personality for
WEEI. They'll let anyone do this.
Dale Arnold, Tom Karen, Dave O'Brien, who you hear on Nessie.
Dave O'Brien?
How does
Dave
that work? O'Brien is doing some radio games this year. Good to have Dave back in the booth.
Whole bunch of people going to be around.
Everybody's excited. Feeling good.
In addition to Castiglione, there are eight of us who will also be doing games. And as I said, Lewin and Empebra will be doing the most. They'll be doing about 50 apiece. Mm. And these are ballpark numbers.
Right.
Sean McDonough's going to do around 30. Dave O'Brien's going to do somewhere in the vicinity of 10. I'll be somewhere in the vicinity of 15, maybe a few more than that. Lou Merlone, somewhere in the vicinity of 30,
yep.
Somewhere in that ballpark. I don't know the numbers for TC. Chris Berman, somewhere in the vicinity of about
smaller
five.
Amount.
Yeah, a smaller amount.
But no, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a pretty good group. A bunch of these guys I've already heard. A couple of them I have not. So we'll see how it goes. But I like it.
We will pull up some play-by-play from some of these guys of Empebra and Lewin and mm-hmm. Give people an opportunity to hear what they do and how they do it. Because I think, there will be some interest. Obviously, some of the local guys, you've heard Sean McDonough
oh, yeah.
in the past.
Oh, he's
you've
the
heard
best.
Dave O'Brien. But we'll pull up some stuff as we go along and give you a chance.
Good.
Every time I hear Chris Sale, and it's way too infrequently for my taste.
I think that's
every
part
time
of his,
I
think it's for a reason.
But every time I hear him, I come away more and more impressed. So this morning at about 7:30, Sale was on with Mutt and Callahan down at JetBlue Park in Fort Myers. Their first day of broadcast down at the spring training site for the Red Sox. And there are a couple of cuts here that we're just going to bring you. Sale talking about how much he loves playing in Boston and for the Red Sox.
If all things being equal, you seem to really like it here.
I love it here, no doubt. It's hard not to. There's a lot of pressure that comes with playing in Boston. There's very high expectations, but I hold myself to a very high standard, on and off the field. So it's right down my alley, and you want to be on a team that is wanting to win today, tomorrow, this year, next year, 10 years from now. And that's here. That that you look at their track record over the last almost 20 years
right.
now, and it's pretty impressive. And even when there is, a so-called down year, it's either 1 or 2 years and they're right back on it. So
you told us
respect that.
One thing's weird. You said last year, it might have been 2 years ago, you said you liked everything about Boston, and we said, except the traffic kind of sucks. And you said, I don't mind it. You said, I just sit in my truck, turn the music up.
Yeah.
You still don't mind traffic?
No.
Okay, that's weird.
No. Well, I mean, I try not to let little things bother me. Traffic's a little thing. I'll get there eventually.
How about down here? Like in February and March, it's almost as bad as Boston. You would agree?
Yes. Well, we got a lot of people from Boston that come down here.
That's true.
I'm with my people all the time.
He makes other guys look bad, both on the field and off the field.
Yeah.
Like how good he is when he's healthy on the mound. And then this has been since day one. Like he's done these interviews with these guys the last couple of years. And then you're right. I mean, obviously he talks after every start. The starters have to.
But
other than that, you don't hear him that
cut
much.
And pace.
Yeah, that really is. But
the curveball was working great.
But he's always asked about his contract and never kind of freaks out like some players do. He's not like, Kevin Durant or some of these guys when they're asked about their contract. He says he loves it here. And then he kind of, you know, he's talking about how the money's not the most important thing. All of that stuff, he is... He, you can't ask for anything more than that. And he's the perfect fit for Boston. There are so many guys that you wonder about and say, well, is this going to work here? And they kind of, maybe they psych themselves out or whatever. David Price is actually one example of a guy that it didn't work and then it did. There have been other guys, though, that show up and just not even close. Like, they could play somewhere else, but then they couldn't handle it here. But Chris Sale absolutely can.
He's very honest. He doesn't gild things. He talked with those guys, with Martin Callahan this morning. Obviously, last year was both the greatest year of his career. You know, you win a World Series championship, but it was also, as he pointed out, a frustrating year.
Yeah, I leaned on them heavily. You know, they're as good as it gets, and they're top tier. So, you know, having those guys to lean on and get help from, and now, they're a big part for me being able to get out there when I was out there.
Is the frustration, you know, and not knowing exactly what was going on at the time? Was it not getting the ball? Was it all of the above? Was there one thing that stood out as the most frustrating part of that stretch where you're on the DL a couple times in the middle of the year?
Just missing time. Yeah. You know, there's nothing worse than having a job and not being able to do it. And not only not being able to do it, but having other people have to step up and pull your weight, basically. You know, we obviously had a deep roster and guys filled in great. You know, we really didn't miss a beat, which made it easier for me. You know, I'm out, I'm sitting here watching games, and we're still winning. So that makes it, you know, we go on a 10 game losing streak. You know, that's a knife to the chest. So, you know, my guys picked me up last year. They really did, and throughout the whole process, you know, they all had my back, and they were all very supportive and.
Kind of the opposite of Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward last year rooting for the team to lose because they were playing too well without him. Chris Sale saying, well, thank God they had other guys that picked him up because they were still winning games even without him. You had other guys step up, whether it was Nathan Eovaldi or Price or Porcello or whoever. But the truth is, he has been a starter for 7 years in the majors, and last year was the fewest innings he's pitched.
Yep.
In those 7 years, because the year before he was up over 200 innings. He's been up over 200 innings a bunch of times.
He led the league in innings the year before.
Yeah, he did. He did. He had 214 and a third. The year before that, 226. But last year, just 158 innings, the two trips on the DL, essentially missed five or six starts. And that's really the biggest question mark with Sale. Because you know what? I would guarantee a great April, May, June out of him. And he may even start the All-Star game for, what, the third or fourth straight year, whatever he's up to. I wouldn't doubt that. But how does he hold up at the end of the year? That's really the only question.
If you go back several years, and we were watching from afar, and the reports about Chris Sale taking the scissors to the jerseys
hilarious.
For the Chicago White Sox, and there were people in this town who said, what a whack job.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is crazy.
I loved it, though.
He couldn't handle Boston. He couldn't handle the media scrutiny in Boston. He handles it great.
I don't think you could handle it better. Like, how do you, like, when he gets interviewed, he doesn't, a lot of guys, you'll ask him a question, they'll kind of answer it, but then it almost leads to more questions, or they're not, you know, very clear with what they're saying. With Chris Sale, it's pretty cut and dry. Jerry's like, oh, you like it here? He's like, I love it here. So, like, okay, there's no kind of in between. Where with some of the other guys, remember, like, when they would ask David Price about whether he liked it here, if he liked the fan base, he would talk in circles
about other
things. You're like, wait a minute,
I like
Hold
my
on.
Dog.
Like, yeah, so circle back. So he's like, I know you like your teammates, but do you like it here? And he wouldn't answer it. Whereas Chris Sale gives you straight up answers, whether it's about his contract, whether it's about, you know, pitching, whether it's about the clubhouse, all of that. He's great.
So let's give you one more because I listened to the whole thing this morning and I actually texted you guys immediately after. I said, every time I hear this guy, I'm more impressed by him. Now, you would think, okay, you won your World Series title. You got your big ring. Well, you don't have it yet, but you're going to get your big ring and all that stuff. So, you know, you put this thing on autopilot. I'm not sure that Chris Sale has autopilot.
And so now, how do you balance between putting last year behind you and also the expectation you said here in Boston? People expect you guys to repeat. So how do you balance and move forward into this year?
You just kind of roll it over. AC said yesterday, you know, we're not turning the page. You know, turning the page means, you know, something bad happened, right. And you're on to the next one. We're, you know, we're just going to keep writing a new chapter. And you know, we have most of the same guys coming back, and we got two guys that we only had for half the year that were huge for us for that half a year, now for a full year with Pearson and Nate. So It's exciting. You know, I think we're all still hungry for it. You can ask anybody in that clubhouse. We're not satisfied with what we did last year. We were at the time, but now it's, you know, on to the next one, and you know, we want to be back-to-back champions.
I mean, he doesn't shy away from it.
No, not at all. And it's similar. Him and Alex Cora is kind of similar too. And Cora's already talked about how they could even be better this year than they were last year. Now, Sale might have to finish some of his games because they don't have a closer, so he may need to go nine for some of these games.
Guess, but he's probably not going to be the guy, but no, it's possible. Yeah,
but no, but I mean, again, you can't really even find a moment where he hasn't said the right thing. Like, this is going on to his third year here in Boston, and there's usually a chance that these guys kind of say something that maybe they regret or something, and they look kind of foolish. But with him, nothing. Like, he is, since day one that he's been here, he has said everything the right way, and then he's backed it up on the mound.
A texter brings up a great point, and as I was sitting here listening, I was trying to think about it. So listen to Chris Sale here.
Most of the same guys coming back, and we got two guys that we only had for half the year that
okay.
were huge.
You know who that is?
Who's that?
Drew Bledsoe.
Oh, the voice. Oh, a voice doppelganger.
A little bit. I mean, it sounds like Drew Bledsoe
voice
when you hear him talk.
Yeah.
And a texter brought it up and said he sounds just like Drew Bledsoe. And as I was listening this morning at 7:30, I'm going, who does that sound like?
That's a good one. Voice doppelganger.
Watch out. I'm going to have to talk to him. We'll bring him out to Washington. We're going to develop a profile.
Most of the same guys coming Washington. Back, and we yeah. got two guys that we only had for half the year that were.
Maybe the thing. So
it's like Belichick and Casario.
Yeah, they sound identical.
Tiger Woods, Tim Duncan. Look that one up. Mash that one up sometime.
Tim Give Duncan. Me that one more time.
Tim Duncan and Tiger Woods
on it.
Sound identical.
We'll work on it. I loved listening to him this morning. As you said, he does talk after his starts. Like
yeah,
everybody's
he does.
Required.
But usually it's
to.
About the game, and it's kind of
you don't get these in depth things.
Yeah.
And I give Mutt and Jerry a lot of credit because they really allowed him to, you know, breathe a little bit.
I think he's the best interview on the team right now.
Yes.
Don't you think? Like, out of the 25 guys that are on the roster, we've interviewed some of them. I've heard other interviews with other shows and stuff, and I think he is the best one. It helps when you're one of the best players. Like, I'm a little bit more interested there in the top guys. But then what he's willing to talk about, and it's not just non-answers or deflections. He comes out and he's himself and he answers honestly.
It's going to have a great finish.
was that Drew or Chris?
I know he's talking about the double back Cabernet, so I know it's Bledsoe.
That's a good point.
It'll be it's going to have a great finish.
Okay.
The Terry Rosé.
Oh well. By the way, can we get an update on the Terry Rosé?
I don't think they
did. Did they make a Terry Rosé?
They didn't make the Terry Rosé.
What happened to the Terry Rosé?
Small batch.
Oh, was it
very
a small,
small
batch?
Like limited, two bottles.
That Terry Rosé, man, that I forgot about that.
Was never available in Boston.
That makes sense.
Was only available in his home winery and only people, like, there was only made, like,
what?
I think they said six cases.
Because there's so many Celtics fans up in Washington State.
I think he realized quickly afterwards.
He's like, wait a minute, what have I done?
This isn't going anywhere. Gotten
in bed with Terry Rozier? What am I doing?
Lack of a better term, not a good shelf life there.
It was like Puma. I think Puma signed Terry Rozier. He's one of like the five basketball players that they have. Seems like an odd signing there.
Well, it was great to hear him this morning. I know the audio's online on WEEI.com. Go out of your way to listen to it because it is so refreshing. Now today, about 12 minutes from now, David Price is going to be at the picnic table in Fort Myers.
It's a new David Price.
I'm gonna guess that it won't be quite as forthcoming as what you heard from Chris.
I think it might be a different David Price. He holds all the cards now, remember? That was his big line last year. He holds all the cards and, you know, he's right, everybody else is wrong and all this other stuff. So I think it's going to be a more relaxed David Price, shouldn't
it? Definitely should be. I mean, heck.
The guy pitched well in the playoffs.
With his postseason, he was...
Yeah, what are
Nails.
You gonna say? What are you gonna say? What is he gonna
come at me, bro?
Go ahead. You might challenge somebody to a fight. Hopefully, Mario Mpemba's not down there. They might roll around a little bit on the picnic table.
So it's kind of sad when your best friend or what you thought was your best friend is talking trash about you. Not that ever happens in our industry.
Been there.
Doesn't happen
Man.
Here.
Yeah.
Poor Alex Cora's got that issue that he's got to deal with as well. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. You can text us at 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All of a sudden, I look up and he's like waving and gesturing, and I didn't read Rossi hieroglyphics that time. I had no idea what he was waving to me about.
I'm always staring at you guys.
Shoot or shoot, though, Rossi.
Don't be afraid to.
They can't all be winners.
So Alex Cora is the bench coach for the Houston Astros. They win a World Series.
Yeah, it's great.
He gets named manager of the Boston Red Sox. He wins a World Series. So he's coming off back-to-back World Series championships.
Pretty good for Cora.
Alex Bregman is one of his pals.
I love Alex Bregman.
Oh, I know. So
I am a fan of Alex Bregman.
So Alex Bregman on the Houston Astros, y'all, pal of Alex Cora. I happened to be there. I was calling the games in Houston last year when they presented Alex with his World Series ring. And you could see the love that the Astros players and coaches and manager had for Alex, very popular guy. He got a great ovation in the stadium when they presented him with his ring that night. So Alex Bregman talking about, you know, the Red Sox and Boston sports in general, lobs a little shot across the bow.
They got the better of us. A few of the guys on our team were banged up. Now, that's not an excuse at all. They played really well, and they played really good baseball. They're well coached. They got a ton of good players. But after watching the Patriots win, the Red Sox beating us last year, there's no other city that I would like to beat more this year than Boston. All the tweets. We just did a reading of mean tweets for my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
They're all from Boston fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brutal.
Because it's a passionate group, Bregman.
Come on, Alex.
By the way, my YouTube channel? What has he got going on there? What does he do on the YouTube channel?
That, by the way, came from the Going Deep podcast.
Yeah.
I'll make sure I give credit where credit is due.
All right.
Come on, Keith.
I'm curious.
Come on, Rich.
It's not even 11 o'clock, Dale.
It's not hosted by Ron Jeremy.
Okay. I didn't
go
there.
Deep anyway.
It is Valentine's Day.
Thank you, Lucy. Thank you for pointing that out. Very true. Good for Alex Bregman. He is one of the few kind of trash talk. I don't even know if that qualifies as trash talk, but at least he's.
He didn't like the Patriots winning the Super Bowl.
No, join the club.
Obviously, he didn't like the Red Sox winning the World Series because
they
didn't.
You know who also didn't like the Patriots winning the Super Bowl?
The rest of America.
Jackie Bradley Jr., big Rams fan. You see the whole thing? He was rooting for the Rams. He was cheering for the Rams and all that stuff. But Bregman, wasn't he the one last year that Instagrammed out that video of them hitting back-to-back-to-back home runs off of Eovaldi?
Yep, that was him.
So, I mean, I like it. I think
then Eovaldi's sticking 103 under his chin.
Yeah, he did pretty well there. And then they just walked Bregman every time anyway.
Yeah.
They're like, you're not going to get any hits off of us. So I like Bregman. I think he's actually has some personality. You can probably count on one hand how many baseball players have a personality or at least able to showcase it a little bit. And I think Bregman is one of them. He's one of the young stars of the game. He's only 24 years old and was, top five in the MVP last year on a really good team. If I told you he was going to be Astros, Red Sox in the playoffs again.
Oh, that'd be great.
You'd probably believe it, right? I mean, those two teams could definitely see each other.
You want a taste of Alex Bregman YouTube?
I absolutely do. What does he do there?
Hey,
y'all.
In the yoga class, ready to sweat.
Yoga!
Sweat in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Jeff Kirkpatrick, one of my best friends in the world, has recommended this place, so we're going to check it out and stay tuned.
This isn't yoga music. That isn't close. That's not yoga
doing
music.
Doing some great moves in here, though.
Is he insane? Oh, is he pliable?
He's got some insane down dog bendability.
What's he wearing? Because I might be doing another yoga class coming up.
He's actually wearing an LSU jersey.
He went to LSU, so it makes a little bit of sense. Is he wearing pants?
But he was wearing, he cut the sleeve off.
Is he wearing pants?
Is he wearing pants?
It was kind of a selfie, so you couldn't see below the chest.
I don't think
so he could have been buck naked for all we know south.
Or he's just Porky Pigging it. He's got the shirt on, no pants.
He cut the sleeve off of his shirt to do the yoga and put it on his head for like a sweatband effect.
I respect that. That's a good look.
Only on one side.
Well, the posts. That's exactly all that is.
My friend, this isn't the end. This is a 37-minute video.
I'm sorry? 37-minute video?
Let's just run through the whole thing.
Go ahead and play. We have time. We're here
to go take a nap. I'll play.
So I don't think most yoga classes would be in favor of you bringing a camera in there and then playing music.
I give the Astros credit because they play off his personality. They had an ad which ran a week or so ago.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Where Bregman is in the office, you know, and he's on the phone with season ticket holders. How do I get you a full season?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
And, you know, he's like yelling at people in the office. Come on, let's get serious.
That was a pretty good commercial. So he's good for baseball.
This is the actual yoga video.
You can't bring a recording device in there.
Keith, you want to know what he's wearing now?
Of course I do.
Tight shorts. Ooh, no shirt.
Oh, boy.
No shirt.
And it's an up angle. This is a little uneasy
for me. Angle. Yikes. Is it blurred? Do they have to blur it a little bit?
No, but...
YouTube's going to yank this down then. They're going to say, listen, we can't have this.
Can I point out to you, Rossi, that...
Rossi, turn that off.
It's all well and good. No idea what she's saying.
Turn that off.
I mean, it's like, I don't know.
They're like, Alex Bregman, World Series champion. Alex Bregman is here with us. Everybody, please assume the position.
Yeah, shouldn't the yoga voice be kind of calm?
Much calming, yeah. She sounded like she was making morning announcements in a middle school.
In the lunchroom today?
No, not soothing enough.
We've got BLTs.
Yeah. Ooh, BLT day. Love BLT day. But that's a rough yoga class, I would say.
She said to take a minute to think about why you are practicing yoga today.
You could tell what she was saying?
A little bit. That's typically what they say in these classes.
Think about why you're taking yoga?
Lucy's all over this video, I think, due to the angle.
As soon as he said shirtless.
Yeah. You a fan of Bregman?
I mean, now.
Okay. Understandable.
Lucy's got two thumbs up in the other room for the Alex Bregman YouTube channel.
Good for him. Now, Cora was asked about Bregman's comments yesterday. And he was basically just like, that's my guy. I'm not really going to.
Oh, he loves Bregman.
I'm not going to fight back on it. And it really wasn't trash talk. I mean, that's like baseball's version of trash talk.
Yeah,
like,
it's pretty tame.
If we could beat any city, it'd be Boston. It's like, well, they are the defending champs.
Yeah, that's.
Okay. And you, like the rest of America, is sick of the Patriots winning.
Going out on a real limb there, aren't you?
It all checks out. Pretty good.
So Bregman trash talking, quote unquote.
Yeah, the best he can
with his former manager, and it was great. I don't mind any of that. They can go through all of that.
Yeah, good.
Other city that I would like to beat more this year than Boston.
Because like I mean I don't know if you would categorize Alex Bregman as a villain, but one of the things we looked at like last year when the Red Sox were playing the Yankees for the first time in a long time, they had one hateable guy, two tops. Like, Gary Sanchez, I think, is hateable. But how many other Yankees are hateable? Whereas you go back to the early 2000s or the 90s, it was like every single guy you couldn't stand as a Red Sox fan. And so you look around the major, or you look around the you know, teams that the Red Sox are have to go through to get back to the World Series and what guys are easy to root against. That's why you want Manny Machado on the Yankees, because Manny Machado is so unlikable. But right now, the Yankees and the Astros, they got a bunch of guys that are kind of easy to root for.
I like the Astros.
Exactly.
I like it better when you beat them. But,
of course. But yeah, like Altuve and Bregman and Springer. Like, how do you not?
They're
like,
a blast
to
watch.
Yeah, they're fun
to
watch.
Which, by the way, I think, if anything, amplified your victory over them.
Yeah.
You know, the whole diving catch by Andrew Benintendi and all that to end. But the fact that you beat them, they're the defending World Series champions, and oh, by the way, they're really good.
Yeah.
It's like in wrestling.
It's exactly
it always comes
like
back
wrestling.
To wrestling.
Here we go. Rossi, you know, like, hope you're
like,
all ears.
Like it always comes back to wrestling. If you don't build up the opponent you just vanquished, then your victory doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that's why the Patriots will never, ever say this team sucks or
no,
this team's
never.
No good. Because then when you beat them, it's like, well, then what did you accomplish?
You were supposed to.
You were supposed to.
Okay,
so you build them up. And in order to be the best, Dale, you got to beat the best.
I never heard that
one. That's what they said. That's what the Red Sox did that this year. That's what they said.
A quick wrestling aside.
Yeah, sure.
Because everything, you know, leads us
it
to
all
wrestling.
Goes back.
You saw who was at the Garden last night. Didn't
I did.
You? Right here.
Mankind.
In Boston, Massachusetts.
That's right. Mankind. Dude, love. Ross,
did
you go?
In the locker room.
Was he? Yeah, just in the locker room hanging out?
Just hanging out, just taking pictures.
Just a big fan?
I was unfortunately not there.
It's too bad.
One of my Nesson colleagues.
Yeah.
A guy who's on our crew. But he's also a guy, as I told you guys, does work for the WWE. He was in Saudi Arabia. He was at... The pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And he posted a picture of
with
Ian
Mankind
and Mick.
Yeah, pretty good. Isn't he like best buddies with Sean Grandy? I think that's sort of like a story
I got to believe he was probably on
with Grandy.
The radio broadcast yesterday.
I think they're like best buds. And you'd like stay
they are close friends because that was the whole story of when
Mick slept on his couch.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know how that started.
See,
but
if you let someone sleep on your couch, no greater love half a man for another.
I don't think I would let anybody sleep on my couch. Like, no.
I slept on the couch last night.
You slept on the couch last night? Yeah. What would you say to your wife?
It's what she said to me.
Really?
Yes.
She said, get the hell out of here?
In the middle of the night.
What happened?
When I'm coughing up a lung.
Oh, okay.
And she pops up in bed. All right, I'll see you later.
Oh, boy. A Dale on the couch night.
Yeah, it was a Dale on the couch night.
That is a
tough night. The night before Valentine's Day, you think you're going to work your way back in tonight?
I hope so.
She's got a little working to do here today, it was her. She was the one who forced me. She was swearing at me in the middle of the night.
Well, you got to put all that aside tonight. Tonight is the night for lovers. Everybody's got to get together tonight. It's Valentine's. Put your differences aside.
Is this your Valentine's outfit that
you got? Sweats. My wife can't stand that I wear sweats to work. But I'm like, I'm on the radio. What's the matter? She's like, ugh. She's not a fan of it.
No. Now, when you go home, do you put pants on and stuff?
Let's just say, oh, we're going to pop the sweats off when I get home. Let's just leave it at that, shall we?
Okay. Thank God.
You like that? Valentine's Day. What do you want me to do?
When we come back, the Celtics win their second straight without Kyrie Irving.
Ooh.
But Kyrie is on his way to Charlotte this weekend.
Oh, boy.
We'll talk about that. We'll get to some other things as well. 617-779-7937. Oh, Chris Berman will join us tomorrow on the program.
Around this time?
Right around 11 o'clock tomorrow. We will talk to one
Boomer.
Of the guys who's going to be part of the Red Sox broadcast team. Chris Berman will be with us tomorrow. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.